blind your eyes, steal your tongue, take it when you're old, but it lights on you.
Welcome back, Barely Watchable Podcast. Welcome back from a long hiatus, almost a month long.
Yeah.
And we, this week, chose a movie that is, at least in my opinion, more confusing than Inception.
I was completely confused through the whole movie. Didn't know what the plot was, didn't know what was going on whatsoever.
But we went back to our roots. We
tits.
Tits on Tubi, as I like to call it. Malibu Express. The first of, I believe, first Andy Sedaris movie.
He's just such a god for B movies right there.
All right, let's do our shot. Prost.
Not the ice.
You know, we, in honor of Andy's movies, we have to do cherry pie.
Who is their one word, one phrase for this movie?
I have three letters. STD. I think every character, this whole town, you know, it was sexually transmitted, man. I mean, everybody was fucking everybody in this movie.
Well, I wrote it down. I'll ask you, Marty, your one word, but I'm going to continue off of what Joel said there real quick. I wrote down 1307. By this point in the movie, our main protagonist Cody has had unprotected sex with four different women in a span of 24 hours in the first 1301.
I wrote, I actually have like a phrase. I just said Magnum PI, mix it with the little Dukes of Hazzard, and mix it with Skinamax, and you have yourself Malibu Express.
Yep. Totally agree.
What made this movie Dukes of Hazzard? I've never seen Dukes of Hazzard, so what made this movie?
Two or three different things. You can start, but I...
Well, it just the music alone.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like the bluegrass country music was...
And the old, like, talk... I don't know what you call it when you talk about the movie. The character's talking as the movie's going, let's say... you know, he's like, oh yeah, I just pulled up in my Camaro now. And
that's how they did it. The boys just went on, got chased by.
Yeah, you hear in the background, like him telling the whole movie. I told Gene before he got here, I said, this is like, this movie is like watch or listening to an audio book. Cause he's just like saying, yep, I'm now going to go get myself a peanut butter candy bar and think about this thing. And like, so that was a lot of Dukes.
There was
of
other characters that popped up the whole race. The people would race some, yeah, Buffingtons and stuff. There's a lot of Dukes of Hazzard shout outs.
So that's
sure.
Why I thought in Magnum PI, I mean, this typical
mustache guy,
early 80s, PI, TV show.
I do have this note. I said, if you just like blindfolded yourself and listen to this movie, there are moments like in the beginning song, like you'd think this movie's going to take place in Ireland, and then it's all of a sudden a Western, and then it's, you know, it's like you were saying, it's Dukes of Hazzard, Mississippi, so it's the music.
I couldn't tell, it was supposed to be, is this supposed to be in California, like Malibu, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But then like half the scenes were like, it seemed like they were in Texas.
Yeah, Palm Springs, Texas, yeah.
But there was... plenty of boobs in this movie. A lot of good boobs.
Before we get to the boobs, because that's going to be the easy thing. I think just from the get-go, when you see the character right in the beginning, he's got a cowskin suitcase.
Holding his gun.
And he's got a pocket watch. Like he doesn't. Like he's like real, you know, he's a real smart guy with his pocket watch. And then he goes to the shooting range and can't shoot at all.
I find that was funny. Part of this movie was he can't shoot it. Even like the woman cop or whatever is, she's hitting everything and he's missing like all over the place.
I think the dogs are in heat from this movie. They're going nuts upstairs.
His before he actually gets an assignment as a private investigator, his first day that we are introduced to him makes absolutely no sense. I know we say like this movie doesn't make sense, but like I think it starts with that opening scene because, like you said, he goes to the gun range, like find like a, I guess like a cop PI needs to get some practice in. But then he goes to the racetrack to support like one of his girlfriends that's
That's a real fast racer.
Like that scene made no sense, wasn't needed.
She wasn't even racing. She was like trying to break a record.
It's June Knockers with an H.
With an H.
Every time it's like June Knockers with an H.
But then he just follows that back up with going home to his boat at the marina.
Let's talk about the boat.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the boat. So he's got a fake wall door. I don't know what it is that goes onto his onto the pier.
Yeah.
And it's of a train. And he said he did that because his mom loved trains and she got hit by one and killed.
So why wouldn't you dedicate your boat to your mom's death?
Malibu Express, baby. That's what he called his little area there, his boat.
I don't think Cody could go one place this entire movie without fucking a hot chick. He could, like, there could have been a scene where he went to a funeral and, like, I gotta pick out a coffin for, you know, my dead mother who just got hit by a train. And then, like, the lady working the funeral home be like, hey, like,
let's do
it. I see your mom stiff. You know what else is stiff? You know, like something. I could just see it progressing of like any scenario you could have wrote.
No, I lived through the 80s. I wasn't really in my boning years in the 80s, but I do not remember women being that easy in the 80s at all.
Well,
where every woman has the line to pick up. Like they pick you up. You don't pick them up. They pick you up.
Every female character in this movie fucking just got their panties wet every time Cody just showed up.
But it wasn't just like, Cody. It was like they wanted to fuck everybody.
True.
It was just like they were hornballed out, you know?
It was a lot.
They wanted to fuck the tech guy. They wanted to...
Shane got a lot of action.
I do have later on in the podcast, a review from one guy. It's pretty funny. It brings up that part. So
Cody is like, throughout this movie, I would say he's reluctant to have sex with beautiful women throughout this movie. Like it's like almost like his job is the fun part of the day, and then he goes home like, oh,
you said
I gotta go home and have sex with, you know how like most people like,
yeah,
oh,
you said,
fuck,
you
I gotta
said,
go
you
I
said
gotta
reluctant home. You said reluctant. I think tired is the word I was thinking of. He's fucking all day long. He's tired as hell.
Yeah, he just wants to go to work to,
he's like,
to
I'm
get
like,
away from all
I know
this
I'm gonna
sex.
Get some more pussy later. Just relax. Jesus,
I did not see one prophylactic in this movie, by the way. I think there's a bunch of little Codys running around.
And I love how not one of these girls really want him as like a partner. Like,
no,
they just
no.
want to fuck it's, him.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
She's like, I love a man with no emotions. I'm like, God, I wish all women did that.
As soon as he shows up, they take their tops off. It's just like, check out these. You think my car's tits? Look at these tits.
It's, yeah, not only does he leave, like, a lasting impression with women that he's been with in the past, but just brand new women that enter his life are, like, drawn to him, like, as if he's got Axe body spray on. Like, they're immediately just crawling on him, literally.
Like a moth to fire.
Can we talk about plot a little bit? Because this is where I'm trying to get it. Like, I don't get it. Like, who was he working for? He worked his own private eye, or is he working for somebody else?
Like, he was just, yeah, he was a solo PI that just got hired.
And who hired him? Like, who hired him to go talk to that woman?
Like the CIA?
So he works for the CIA. He's a private investigator who works for the CIA. Don't
just,
isn't that what they do? Isn't that what they do? They're the Central Intelligence Agency. You need some.
Well, that's
country bug.
My biggest crux with this film is like, hey, we need you to go to this house, Lady Chamberlain's house. Somebody in there is selling computer secrets to the Russians, so we need you to find out who it is. But the CIA and the Contessa, who also like happens to like work on the side with the CIA, immediately find out that it's Shane and have him killed. It's like, so why did you need him at all? To go in the house? Just to fuck these women and distract them.
And they kept on saying computer secrets, but it sounded like they were just selling computers to Russians. Like they're like selling laptops or something. I don't even know what it was doing.
I honestly think that Andy Sidaris, the writer, producer, director of this movie, just had a list, and his list said Russians, check. You know, CIA, check. Naked Playboy models, check.
Twice. Hillbillies, he checked that twice.
Hillbillies, check. Secret documents, check. It was just like everything.
Race
was,
car driving,
right,
check.
Race car scene, check. Gun scene, shooting, check. He just said he made a movie with a bunch of nudity in it. And it's like, let's just do it. Go around this.
Yeah, there was not.
Let's
really.
Go around these boobs and just put shit in there.
I didn't get like how even. Can you explain to me again the family? the family that he ended up staying with, who, not the woman Contessa, who she's related to that family.
Chamberlain.
Lady Chamberlain?
Lady Chamberlain's the old lady, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. In the wheelchair.
How is Contessa, is she related to them?
Her dad was fucking the Chamberlain like 40 years ago in Europe.
That's the connection.
Okay, so like this whole movie, like we said, it seemed like they filmed a porno, and then like in Cody's voiceovers, like he would explain the plot of the movie. So like they're just like
that for the fucking voiceover.
Well, that's the thing, is like this is not a movie you can kind of half watch. Like you have to be lasered focused. Yes. You have to have, you know, complete tunnel vision. You have to have the subtitles on. You have to have the volume on 1,000. Like you have to be laser focused, because there's, like I said, like all these scenes for the plot are only know what's going on by listening to the voiceover.
If you got up to pick up a piece of popcorn on the ground and went back and sit back up, you'd fucking be lost in this.
No,
movie.
For someone,
you'd be like, what is the CIA? Where'd they come from?
How many times did we rewind 30 seconds only just because it's like, I feel like we missed
a plot here.
So much of the movie. It was only 30 seconds went by.
Especially when there's parts where he makes a phone, there's somebody making a phone call, and then they stop, and then like 15 seconds later, that same guy calls that person again. It's like, you were just on the phone with him. Why wouldn't you just tell him the same thing you just 15 seconds ago?
See,
that you stopped?
I struggled because, you know, I'm a horny guy with ADD, and like there's nipples and tits and ass and all around, and like, and they're constant. It's the first movie I was like, I almost wish there was a little bit less tits and ass so I understood what the fuck was going on here.
And not only female, but male. There's like a lot of male asses, and a lot of every male person's got their shirt off constantly in this movie.
I was going to say,
Andy's fair.
I think you see Shane's ass more than you see tits in this movie. I
don't not think that at all.
Really?
There's way more tits in this movie.
I don't know.
There's way more tits. You must have been focused on his ass more than I was.
Well, there was a lot of Shane ass in like one period of the movie.
Over, a shower scene. A
couple scenes in a row that, you know, you got a little Shane.
Well, but I think it's just, it stuck with me more because, you know how like when the women would get naked, they would start clothed, and they would slowly undress, you know, like a slow reveal of the, you know, the giant tits. But Shane, anytime he was naked, the scene would immediately start with a shot of his ass cheeks. So I think it just like it caught you by surprise more, because there was no reveal of the ass cheeks. They went right to it.
But I don't think they made it sound like Shane was like a Russian spy or something like that. And all Shane did was fuck all these girls from that family. And that's why she killed him.
He put it together at the end, though.
But it was really the guy Shane was working for was the guy who was like selling all the computer stuff, Harper or whatever his name was. It was never Shane. Shane was literally just trying to get money for gambling, and he was fucking all these women in this house and trying to blackmail them. That's all he was doing, and then she killed him.
Yeah, this is the only thing in the movie that doesn't make sense, because they could have just turned Shane in. Like, they knew it was him.
Yeah.
So like the CIA could have just turned him in. Instead, they killed him and like had this whole like weird, you know, wild goose
blaming a bunch of
people like for the cops to get involved. It made no sense. Like you're saying, like it seemed like they knew the bad guy from the get go. They had the evidence.
I think they just wanted to make sure there was cops involved somehow, because they needed to have him fucking one of the girl cops in one scene for sure. That had to be part of that.
I just noticed to go off of you, Joel, is I just noticed I wrote on here, there's too many boobs to keep track of in this movie, which means there was like a lot of women characters. And you didn't know, like, who was, after a while, it's just like,
I was starting to go by a nipple size. Like, okay, that's the big nipple hangers right there. That's that one.
You're talking about
the race car driver.
Knockers.
She had some monsters.
She probably won the award.
Which award?
Biggest nipples.
Biggest nipples and biggest tits.
Okay. Is that a award?
Oh, actually, not nipples, areolas.
Areolas.
Is that an award you give out, or is this?
Yeah, we're going to start something new. We'll call it the June Knockers Award.
BW Award. Your Barely Watchables Award.
Can we circle back to Shane real quick?
Yep.
I don't really know what his job is with the family, like, or what he was like. He was hired to be a chauffeur.
He's such
butler.
A good driver.
By the way, you guys know who that is, right?
He looked familiar. I'm trying to figure out who he was.
Bachelor Party, Nick the Dick.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes, that was him. Gene, are you familiar with the Bachelor Party movie with Tom Hanks? Oh,
that's a great movie.
You need to see that, Gene. That is early Tom Hanks, good movie.
I'm not entirely certain. Like, was he a family friend? I hope not, because he fucked them all.
He came out of jail for 5 years.
But that's, that's why I want to know, like, was he a family friend? Because how else could have this guy have gotten? I'm not like hired because he's an ex-con. He's clearly not rehabilitated. Like he immediately after getting out of prison is extortion, blackmail, thievery. Like he's doing shady shit that should get him sent back to prison. Like did they do the research?
Like Contessa hooked him up because she was the one trying to. I thought maybe they wanted to get him close so that they could kind of see what he was doing and who was he involved in. Maybe because he was involved with that Harper.
Okay, so let's go off of this Shane character who was asked by one of the boobs. I forget which one. She goes, "So, you know, you were in prison. What were you in prison for? What'd you do?" And he's like, "Ate a lot of furniture, baby." So what?
Carpet.
I got to ask you guys, what does that mean? What's your take on, he goes, "I ate a lot of furniture."
I have a guess. You know, when you're eating furniture, your face is in, like, let's say, the couch. So I think he was taking it from behind quite a bit.
Okay.
That makes sense.
But I don't get, like, what that has to do with, like, anything in the plot. Like, they just had done sex, and she's like, "What a guy like you do in prison? Like, what does that mean? Like, you just, what does that have to do with anything that
ate a lot of furniture, baby."
Well, I mean, he was fucking Stewart also, you found out later there, too.
That's true. I forgot. So, yeah, maybe he was eating a lot of furniture. Mm-hmm.
I thought this was a Me Too nightmare for most people, this movie, because it's like you don't know if a person's raping somebody or if they're the whore or like what exactly is happening. I couldn't tell.
That shower scene, I told Gene, I was like, every 80s movie has a rape scene, whether you like it or not.
I mean, but it's like, he's like, "No, don't do this." Oh, and then she just jumps on him and starts fucking him. You know, it's like, don't okay, like that's not
3 seconds.
Is that really what happens?
So you're saying Weinstein? It's like, come on, women really wanted it.
I'm not saying for Weinstein, but for Shane.
He did eat a lot of furniture. It's time for revenge.
Was this movie like during the height of the Cold War? Like, why did they use Russians?
It was the 80s, right?
Yeah. Russian
bad guys. It almost felt like like nobody could tell who the bad guys were, because even the guys that were chasing Cody throughout the movie, like, were the comedic relief in the movie. So it's like you almost were rooting for them because they were so funny. So it was kind of hard to like different who's the bad guy. So I feel like, again, like after they made this movie and they're like, "Well, who do we hate now? The Russians? Okay, yeah, it's like Russians, bad guys."
So the bad guys are I like to call them, their names were Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and I called them the Apostle Henchmen. It's like, come on, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. That's what named these henchmen.
And the fact that he first meets them at the gym. You know, those guys are, we got some new guys at the gym, I see.
You know those characters? Well, not Matthew. Matthew, who's a goofball?
Matthew's the yeller.
Okay, Matthew the goofball. But the other two, one was like Mr. America, so-and-so, and one was like Mr. Arizona. You know, you could tell
they're famous,
bodybuilders. But so speaking of Mister, did you guys know that Stewart character? I did a little research. He was named Mister Gay America 1977.
Oh, I'm sure.
Did you see that,
dude? Coming? Cody, that was. I don't know if I want to say that line right now, but Cody, when he's spying on him, that was some of the greatest. Like, you couldn't tell what Cody was saying.
Cody goes, "Yeah, that guy's a little light in the loafers." That's exactly what he said. And hold on. Do you know that was like a saying in the 70s? Big time. Yeah, I've heard that a lot.
I know, but he went on. He goes, "Stewart just turned into the most gorgeous woman." Wow.
He actually did.
Cody said that. He said, "Wow, he just turned." This is like the dub that's happening. And he's like, "Yeah, Cody just turned into the most gorgeous woman. Wow."
Insults were way more clever back then. Like calling somebody, you know, like a faggot, like they like went above and beyond to like make sure it was, you know, it was known that you were insulting him. Like now it's just like you call somebody gay, like it's not clever, but like lighten the loafers. I mean, that takes, you know, a little bit of brain work.
We used to think about it.
Really, lighten the loafers, that really isn't bad. I
think so. I mean, it's kind of telling me you're weak. You know, you're not a real man. Yeah, it's not like, I mean, you can be worse. I don't know why we're going. I don't care about this.
I like that saying. Okay.
Let's get back to selling computers to communists. Let's go on.
Speaking of that, I wrote in here, I was like, you notice there's nothing mentioned in these 80s movies about China. Like, China's never mentioned at all.
The evil now, Russians.
Yeah, now that's all you see in fucking movies is talking about China, but now it's like Russia.
Can we talk? We'll continue talking about the computer leaking, because Lady Chamberlain is actually the one. I know Contessa sets him up, but the Contessa talks to Lady Chamberlain. Lady Chamberlain's the one that technically hires
Cody,
because like they have that meeting, and
there's
she's like,
"Funny stuff going on.
There's some
here.
Funny stuff. There's some like, what is she worried about? Computer espionage? She's just like a old rich widow. Like, what?
I
is,
thought she meant like she thought there was some like fucking going on in the house, and she needed Cody to find out.
She and before that, like before she said something funky, she's like, "Yeah, like there's some weird computer stuff going around." It's like, what do you care?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Does she also work for the CIA?
Seen a lot of PCs going around this house here. I don't know.
So, our audience can't see this right now, but we were watching the movie, and Tubi, the next movie came up for Tubi, and all I'm seeing right now is tits. Just fucking tits. Tits and tits. So, anyways,
how are we going to pay attention?
This is distracting me.
Now, can I question? I have a question. Liza,
okay,
the daughter. Now, she's going to help finance Harper's companies, and he's making all this money or whatever.
Liza, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I love Liza. She was actually.
Well, my question is, do you normally finance with like a roll of bills? Like, like you're a big financer and you come here and you roll hand him 20s. a roll of 20s and like, yeah, I'm in. Looks like a drug deal.
Why isn't she getting arrested? Because she, okay, so it's like you're saying, she's financing, let's say she's giving them $100,000 so they can make these computers. They're using that money to make computers, and then they're sending those computers to Russia. Like, so by that's, you know, she's involved with this group that's illegally selling these computers. Like, she gets off scot-free in the end.
Yeah, well, they get arrested first, but then the truth comes out.
I actually thought she was, I don't know, you know, I know we're not getting to the end of, but I thought she was the actual murderer in this movie.
Well, that's what everyone thought at first.
The little lady in the wheelchair?
Oh, you thought Lady Chamberlain was.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought you meant Liza.
No. The lady at
the one that the can't wheelchair. Walk?
Yeah. I thought like it was going to be like, oh, she can actually walk and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. There were so many fucking spins and turns in this movie.
They could have turned it into like a Scooby-Doo movie and took off her face and it was...
Who knows? Shane could have came back alive.
It was Shane.
After the whole time. So actually, there really wasn't a lot of murders in this movie. You know, if you think about it, like all the shit, but it's like maybe four. And one of them was Shane, obviously, who was shot like three times, stabbed.
And shot in the head and still threw the TV out.
And he still got the TV.
The
those heavy fucking TVs from the 80s. What? Pick it up and walk out.
What was the purpose of taking the TV outside
to spoof out?
Was he just trying to watch Regis Philbin as his last dying wish? Like, what was going on there?
I was
going
to put Regis as my golden onion, but I did. Yeah, Regis Philbin was on when he picked up the TV.
Talking about how to love people.
It felt very Jack and Lost, where it's like, I just want to go outside, look up, you know, at the sky one last time, maybe watch a little Regis before I die.
And then we had an interesting character that had no meaning whatsoever, Maid Marian. Like, what was her purpose in this movie? She's always around, like, spying, but, like, she has nothing. She's not spying for any reason. She's not working. She's talking to some guy.
She looked like she came off the Rocky Horror Picture Show fucking set, first of all. I don't know what.
She was wearing, like, one of those little, like porn maid costumes.
Rocky Horror Picture Show. She looked like a maid from there.
Joel, you know how you were saying that, like, there's too much nudity in this movie. I was shocked that Maid Marian wasn't getting, she didn't have a
They tried to give her some bent over shots, but it was just the thong action, you know.
I was surprised. And as soon as I saw her in the beginning, I was like, okay, we're seeing this.
And then the women are so mean. They say a joke about how she got raped by two homosexuals. You remember that?
Wait a minute. What,
like, what the hell? You don't remember that?
No.
I have the whole joke here. She goes, Did you hear that Maid Marian got raped by two homosexuals? One held her down, and one did her hair.
I missed that. Oh, my God.
That was during the party.
Yeah, Andy Sedaris not a fan of homosexuals.
Not at all.
Even though he shows a lot of guys with shirt. I think
yeah,
he's
he was like focusing in on the muscles on those guys.
Yeah,
and stuff.
I mean,
he's
like I
weirdo.
Said, yeah, there's a lot more. It's very, it's a very homoerotic movie that the guys are, you know, just as shirtless as the women. But I can't believe we're almost 30 minutes in this podcast and no one has brought up the sex line worker.
Sally's phone and sex line, or what was Sally's?
It wasn't sex line. It was Sally's. Phone
and
lip
service.
Sally's yes.
phone and lip service. And so she's the only person that can connect calls on, in that town or what? Like, he doesn't call 911 ever. He just calls Sally's lip
like
service. Call the
Ruth,
police.
Ruth Buzzy. Bringing this up. Gene's looking at me like, fuck. Playing the operator, you know, it's like connecting people to their phone calls. It's like.
But every time she's like, oh, I've had your motor on me before. And like, she's always got some stink she's talking to him about shit.
Shane is dead. Cody's going to try to call the cops. Did he call the cops? Nope. I'm going to call the sex service line to have her call
the cops for me. Don't worry. The cops will be here in 5 minutes.
And of course, Sally, was her name Sally?
Yeah.
She takes off her top as she's talking to Cody.
Yeah, she's touching like, herself as she's talking. He's making her so hot on the phone.
Are you? Oh, what are you going to do to my nipples?
And what are like, you wearing right now?
There's a guy dead. I need to call the cops at 911. Oh, okay. Could you call 911 on my pussy? You know, it's just like, there's a guy dying here.
You know what's funny is, like, she comes up several times in the movie, like, but she actually serves a purpose. Like, she has what I assume is Cody's Rolodex, because there's, like, a time where he's like, I need to call this person. Like, what's her number? Like, patch me through to... You know, the police woman.
She's his secretary on the side is really what it is.
Yeah, she's his penny. But it's funny because like there's two other scenes where like she actually serves a purpose. But when we actually are introduced to her, she's completely meaningless because he just needs to call 911. Like he doesn't need her for that. But it's funny because if that was her only scene, like, all right, whatever, you got another naked woman in this movie. But she shows up like 2-3 more times in this movie.
I liked her.
I actually, you know, one of you made the comment about like these people are like, they felt like porn actors. Not just that though, like it actually felt like they probably were fucking and like they're just like, yeah.
They all seemed to like the script.
They, because they, when they show the sex scenes, they show it from like the nipple up. You don't actually see anything that's going down low. Like my theory is like, things were happening. Andy let it happen, but it's like, all right, we can't actually show that.
I could see Andy saying, fuck it, just let it roll. Let's go.
It's going to be one of these pictures. We want to make it look real. No, I'm not going to say that. Go ahead. Keep going. That's not going to be good. Sometimes I hold myself back.
One of the things I wrote here, I just saw, it was pretty funny. It's like, people love to fuck in the most dangerous times in this movie.
Let's see. What was your favorite sex scene?
The other cop, Beverly.
Yeah.
She's like the other cop.
Yeah, I like the cop scene with him. Yeah, and they had some good bluegrass in the background going. Yeah. You don't hear too many bluegrass love scenes. That was pretty sweet.
But even like that scene right there, they're like going
Deliverance was the last one I think I watched.
They were going to the cabin to find clues and stuff while, you know, people are getting killed. It's like, let's have time for sex.
Yeah, like Cody has like the most basic compliment, like, hey, like, you're looking good after working out these last couple days. And she's just like instantly takes off her top. And like, it's like, wow, that was that easy. I love it.
Gene, you're going to use that at the bar next time. You're looking good.
That's all it took.
Slap. Damn it.
No, but you're right. Like everybody's shooting at Cody with a gun, but the women are like unfazed. They're just like, they just like are trance.
Nobody is fazed by the guns. You're in the chase scene at the racetrack, and these guys are still working. There was like 2 or 3 shots already. These guys are just working on the car. All the guys that are working on the car still and haven't moved at all.
There was one of the deaths was an innocent kid on his motorcycle who gets shot. So he gets shot. 2 minutes later, Cody's like tells, Drew Knockers or whoever, he's like, I even wrote this down. It's like, Beverly's been shot. Go get help. It's like, what about the fucking kid that got shot on the motorbike? Beverly got shot in his shoulder. His kid's dying on the ground. He's like, Beverly got shot. Go get help.
Matthew was reckless. He was just he was spraying bullets.
That's Gene's favorite character. Always loved to yell before he killed somebody, which
never a surprise
and
attack.
And it was not at the right time. It was always like a little late. You know, he would yell like after the scene should have been over already. Then he'd go, ah.
That was Matthew. He would yell that before he'd shoot. So it would be like. Gene, you got to turn this off. This is driving me nuts, man. Find out what movie that is.
Time stamp
for
that.
I'm sorry. Okay.
You know I was watching this movie too many times this week because the entire day today I was singing out loud, I'm in love with a girl in the centerfold. Like, I just kept humming that to myself.
I can't find that song, by the way. I could not find that fucking song.
That's funny. There was a lot of good... I mean, I know we're all going to have a line you might want to keep for later, but there was a lot of good sex lines in this movie. Do you have any that kind of pop up?
I just told Gene before you got here, I was like... There was so many lines that I stopped writing. Like, it's just like,
it's just so stupid.
But even that guy, they're funny, but
the sergeant was up there and he saw the pictures and he looks at the girl and he's like, that's what we call hard evidence. You know, like, just so many sexual innuendos the whole time. It was funny.
But even like Sally, like, she's taking these calls and it's just like,
I bet you're wearing those sexy tight jeans. I'd love to have you here.
Too much.
I want to feel your manhood pressed against me. Oh,
I understand.
I want you so bad right now.
And she started to take her top off.
All right.
Okay. Sexy man, your tongue would really enjoy being on me. My nipples are even hard just talking to you.
Get on the horn and get the police over here to the Chamberlain house as soon as possible. All
right. You know what I thought was the most accurate part in this movie was like him constantly asking for water because he's just fucking too much. He's literally
baby, I need some water.
Like, all right, yeah, I can believe that.
I couldn't stop thinking of it when he kept asking for water.
What did he ask for at the party? He asked for what kind of water?
I didn't hear that.
Continental? No, she called him Continental. It was
What's it called? Like, it's like fancy water, but it's like
designer water.
Designer goes, yeah. Can I get a designer water?
I'm sorry. I just kept thinking of No Country for Old Men when that Mexican's like, agua, agua. It's like every time Cody fucked, I was like, water. I need water.
Can we talk about how easy it was to blackmail somebody? Or, like, not how easy it is, but how laughable, like, blackmail is in the 80s compared to today?
I mean, first of all, there was pictures and videos that were all available, and I don't see where there was any gain on any of the blackmail. You have a gay man who wants to be gay and out in his thing. Does he give a shit that his wife's fucking somebody else? No. His wife knows the... He's gay and he's doing all that. She don't give a fuck either. She's fucking Shane as well. Everybody's fucking Shane. You know, like, who? Where are they going to blackmail?
Who's not fucking Shane?
Of course Shane wasn't going to get any money, you know?
Well, that's the funny thing is, like, Shane was, whatever, $30,000 in the hole for gambling. It's like, okay, what are my options to blackmail? I can blackmail anybody in the world. Like, why don't I blackmail the people that gave me a job? Like, I don't know. It felt like it's blackmail the lady next door.
They know they had money.
Somebody that actually has, you know.
And he's horrible at it, too, because Shane's like, he asked for money, and they say no, and he's like, okay. It was just like.
Have you seen Saltburn at all yet? Mm-hmm. Shane was like the main character from Saltburn.
Well,
he came into this house. He knew what he wanted. He was going to get it all.
I didn't understand, like. So blackmail in the 80s, like, you just had a VHS tape and a few pictures. Like, that's easily destroyable. Like, now, like, you post it on the internet and circulates, you're done. Like, but, like, back then, it's like it's hard to, like, actually make copies of VHSs and pictures. Like, it seems like
that's why people. Yes, you murdered someone and went and grabbed that tape.
It seems
you just
like
can't be right-handed and use a screwdriver.
That was so funny. Like, that had that's okay. Yeah, I'm gonna talk about. I don't want to talk about it right now because I'm gonna use that as my golden onion. So,
all right. So I got this part here on a play. Do you guys remember when Cody said he got raped? This is pretty funny.
That was really a horseshit trip to Palm Springs. I got my ass whipped, my borrowed car shot up, and I was raped. You know, time to see just what the hell's going on around here.
That he just walks up on a lady, like a farming lady,
used car lot,
and just she's just middle takes her tits right out like instantly. Like we're fucking.
Like Cody, he has that on women.
I do like that. Everybody in this movie is like fucking sexy. Even like people that live out in like the middle of like the mountains,
except for the Bumbletown the family, whatever family that was. They were called.
It was the Buffingtons.
Buffington family, yes.
And yes, I got
PL, Doreen, and Bobo.
The Buffingtons.
Oh, I thought you were queuing up a scene. No.
Oh, I am.
Sorry. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I didn't mean to. Yeah.
Okay. He comes this way. He talks and I'm like, I'm going to get myself a candy bar.
Here we go.
Sorry. Beverly's right. Who else knew we were coming out here? Could Lady Lillian be a suspect? Nah. On my way back to the marina, I stopped by the grocery store to get me a peanut brittle candy bar. I just need to think things through.
Hey, not the Buffington
family again.
What's wrong? You yelling?
I don't want to race you guys. Come on. All I have is this junked out old Datsun Z. It wouldn't even be fair.
Fair? You want fair? Go to church, boy. Come on, let's go. Come on, I'm ready. Let's go. Come on.
This Buffington family, talk about
the biggest hillbilly family you're ever gonna meet, man.
If anybody should be pissed in this movie, it shouldn't be the Me Too. It should be the Southern people from Georgia. They're just ripped on.
There were some rednecks for sure. I didn't get the whole idea of why they just wanted to race every day, but that's I don't understand the connection. But
yeah, this movie. It's not like this movie was like an hour and 5 minutes. It's like we need an extra 10 minutes. Like this movie felt like I was watching Ben-Hur. It felt like it was a 4-hour movie. It was definitely not needed these extra 5-6 minutes. I don't know.
Yeah, no.
Some of these B movies, it's like, oh my God, like they barely could make 70 minutes.
Do you think I walk around town with a shirt that said Buffingtons were cheated?
Justice for the Buffingtons.
Justice for the Buffingtons.
I really do think he had two movies there. I think he had like a more of a Dukes of Hazzard riding around racetrack, kind of cool guy screwing all the girl movie. And then he had this Russian spy detective movie. And he's like, I can't make two out of these. Let's just throw these together.
I think, well, like Gene said, he had the tits, the nudity, you know, all that scenes, all that shit. And he's like, I got to throw some shit around it. And he just checked off a bunch of shit. And
let's get a helicopter.
Because Dukes of Hazzard was huge.
Yep. Helicopter scene was pretty sweet.
I like it when that Matthew goes, take us where you know, fly us here, I'll blow your head off. All of a sudden the guy in the back's like, if you blow his head off, who's gonna crash. Drive this helicopter? I guarantee you. That line, like, I'll blow your head off, you know, and all of a sudden they, like, cut. Hold off. Let's rewrite this, because if he blows his head off. So it's like, all right, someone say something.
The motorhome driver was hilarious.
Do you know who that is? That's Adam Sedar.
Is that him?
Andy Sedaris. Yeah.
He was awesome, and he's just like, yeah, we're definitely stopping for her.
Show me your tits.
You better be, you know, if you want to ride, she's coming along for sure.
Do you guys want to rock into segments or anything else you want to talk about? It's not like you can go in this order in this movie, because I don't think there was an order. I think, like you said, they film scenes and then just
we can go right into segments, man.
All right, who was your golden onion?
Does anyone want to go first?
Yeah, I got one here. Who was it now? All right, let's see. Oh, mine was, I wrote down Maid Marian's hair. That was so fucked up. I didn't understand that whole, like, people weren't like in costumes in this movie,
except
or nothing,
for her.
Except for her. And I didn't, they never explained all. They said that she was a little off, I think.
Was she working with her, with what's his name? The son or the gay guy?
Maybe.
She dressed like she would be at that club.
But, yeah. I wish I would have went more into why the fuck she looked like she did, but that was my golden onion.
My golden onion was the police murder investigation. They literally did no investigating whatsoever. They went on, there was pictures of somebody. And so that was automatically, they arrested one person. then, like you said, right-handedness is what then made them arrest a different person. No proof, no investigation whatsoever. Cody did more investigating than anybody.
Well, so, I have to disagree with you there, because my golden onion goes to Cody's PI skills, because he actually didn't solve anything. He just walks into a house and is explained everything that happened in this 95
Neither
minutes.
Of them did any kind of investigating, but he did more than they did.
So, Gene, can you tell if something's pried with the right hand or the left hand? If it's pried open? Because Cody could. He's like, yeah, you could tell this is a right-handed person who pried open this drawer.
Because he, up until he goes to Contessa's house, has got the wrong impression as well. Like, he didn't solve anything, and then, like, it's one of those, like, the Contessa basically admits to everything, and then he takes the credit for, like, listening to the tape. And
that's exactly what, I mean, and she just gets away with it. Like, she works with CIA, so I guess it's okay. Everyone's cool. Like, oh, she did it. And no one was like...
It almost seemed like the CIA guy hired Cody just to, like, give him, like, something to
filler.
Do. Like, he wants to be, like, his best friend. So he's like, you know, if I give this guy a job, maybe he'll take
that darn wall down off the pier. he's one of the guys that owns them.
I think he just wants to go on a boat with big-titted women.
He's jealous because he's not on that boat.
I'm on a boat.
But I had two golden onions. My other one, in addition to Cody's private eye skills, it's also Cody's security system that we don't see, but it's talked about quite a bit in this movie.
Faye and May get on his boat constantly. They get by that security system.
What do you think his security system was? You know, on Miami Vice, it's a crocodile.
I think it's just like a hook.
He has a hook on the other side of the wall. He has a hook on the other side of the wall on the
hook
pier.
With an eye thing just keep...
And then people just walk around the wall and just go down the pier.
Okay, thank God that bomb stopped there for a second.
Sorry, we're watching another movie here.
Huey Lewis, Heart and Soul Award.
I was going to go with the Buffingtons at first. I thought they were hilarious, but the more and more I think about it, it's Sally's phone and lip service. I wish I had that service that I could call whenever and like, hey, can you just put me in touch? And then just talk dirty to me the whole time. I would love
it's
that.
It's a 911 on your phone. You're going to have that as your click. Mine is June Knockers and her knockers, because... She actually saved the day, because the car scene, she got Cody to get into the car. They got away. The helicopter guy, she flashed him the tits, got him out. Then as they wanted to need a ride out of town, the RV pulls up. How does she get the RV to stop?
Throws
her tits, and they get in, and they take her to
town.
So
it's her tits that really...
Yes, I'm going to say June's knockers saved the day.
Knockers with an H.
Joel, I'll take the Buffington family. I mean, the relentless pursuit to restore honor in their family's name, like throughout this movie, is
20
present.
Years of.
And it only takes like a rocket launcher or something that he puts in his car to get him to beat her.
C word of the movie. Who's your C word of the movie?
Mine's coitus.
Of course, it was. You know, it's you could go, the easy one could be Cody, but then I started, you know, thinking about what the movie was really about. So I cleavage, cantaloupes, chess. You know, you just keep on going.
Yes. It, you know what it wasn't? Consent. It was
like... I gave Cody my C word of the movie because he was commemorative for his mother's love of trains.
Yes. His mother got killed by a train.
Does anybody have how is this person not in this movie?
I do not.
I did, but where is it? I thought I had one in here. I don't have it on my notes and I forgot. Do you have one, Gene?
I don't. I mean, this movie had it all. This movie had tits and
it needed nobody.
It was perfect. So,
And actually, the casting for the females was
right
perfect.
On. Yeah, there was not one unhot person in this movie.
Could we let's do prequel, sequel, remake?
That I do have.
I do too.
Okay, you want to go first?
Sure. Sure. My prequel is I want to find out what Cody's dad, because Cody's dad supposedly is like on this yachting
adventure
race, and he's got a bunch of women on there who's been blown off course, which I love. But they talk about like his dad, and I thought for sure that he would be brought up somehow in this movie, kind of like Austin Powers, where the dad, you know, comes in.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know,
yeah. So, I just remembered what I thought the movie needed. I just found my line too.
But yeah, I want to know Cody's dad's adventures. That would be my.
What are you going to call it? What are you going to call that movie? I'll let you think about it. I saw it out here. I thought this movie needed a chimp sidekick. You know, they need a chimp sidekick. We could call it, you know, call him Knockers with an H. You know,
he's the BJ and the Bear.
What about prequel, sequel, remake?
Okay. I have, it's called Haunchyville Express. Cody investigates a murder at a little person convention and bones midget whores and speeds around in a Shriner's parade minicar.
So instead of a yacht, he has a Shriner's
minicar.
Does he live in that Shriner's minicar?
Were there user reviews for this movie?
Yeah, there's a. So instead of like doing, I got a couple that I want to that had submit some stuff. This one's from Chaser to You. Typical macho hero. He lives by the sea. He knows the weapons. He can drive anything. He's a big blonde dude with 80s mustache. You know the type. He also beds every loose woman in this film. And that's pretty much everyone in this film. let's see here. Oh, here we go. This one is from PM Teflon. I was actually disappointed in this one. I don't want to say that I'm a fan of Andy Sidaris movies, but I've seen most of them. Malibu Express isn't as good as his other ones. This one should have been better. Do you know why? Because a dreamy woman were the problem, and this is the star, Darby Hinton. Hinton's shirt is off more than the women's. I found that kind of annoying. Of course, I'll watch this again someday. But it didn't like Darby Hinton's shirt off all the time. So this is the one that I was telling you about earlier, Joel. And you can picture a guy who's probably living in his mom's basement, 40 years old, beaten off in this movie. But this is Russell One. I must say, Malibu Express is one of Andy Sidaris' better movies. The women in this movie were real, not like the other movies, where an average guy like me would have no chance of dating them. I like this movie because a lot of those women would date a guy like me. And I would recommend this to my friends.
Oh, my God.
I know.
These girls would never go with that guy. Ever. It would never happen.
He read this movie on the women might actually date him.
So I got a question for the Racine Correctional folks. Racine Correctional listeners, if you want to, please email us the answer to this question. But were you more turned on by all the naked women in this movie? Or were you more turned on about Shane? Like, which one were you more turned on about? Email us, please.
Cody's shower scene was nice. That is true. This movie does give something for the ladies.
It does.
Or for, I shouldn't say that, but for the...
Whatever. Homosexual mask.
Never watching this movie?
Lighting the loafers.
So this movie that's on in the background is also...
Gene's like fascinated this movie now. I gotta look.
It's also an Andy Sidaris movie.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Shocking.
It's more modern.
Yeah. It's more modern Sidaris.
It's one of his last ones before he passed, unfortunately. Yeah.
What did he die of?
He got more artistic in this one.
Do you know what he died of? Let me know.
Creativity.
Gonorrhea.
This is his art film.
Would you recommend this movie, Drunk, High, Sober?
I'm all in Sidaris movies. I think you can do everything. You can have. I mean, you can be sober and be you all just a good time, but I recommend you have more fun watching the movie.
I totally agree. All three, but as Gene said earlier, do not turn your head for a second because you will now know what the fuck is going on.
I do think our next live movie is going to probably have to be another Andy Sidaris movie. Yeah, we'll do some Tubi research. And
I was thinking about that. I was like, we probably could have done... This would have been a probably good live movie, just because I think...
One probably with less nudity. Just a tad less nudity, but... I would actually recommend this movie. I would not recommend this movie on any sort of drugs, though, because, like we were saying, like, this movie's This is like a Christopher Nolan-esque confusing plot, and like if you add any edible or anything to that, that'll just make it a horror movie.
Yeah, you wouldn't need to understand what's going on
with that. You're right. Following the plot is hard enough.
Turns into Donnie Darko, and then that's when things turn for the worst. What other things did we miss on this movie? Any other final notes? What else do you guys have here?
It's funny. Did you guys notice how in this movie they mention cars names a lot? Like they'll say, "I drove up in my Fiero. I drove up blah blah blah." He goes, "They followed me in that Caddy." Like it's just saying like they followed me or I drove up to the store. He's always like he mentions car names in this movie all
they love their
the
cars
time.
In this movie for sure.
Speaking of cars, he rides a DeLorean, and this movie comes out 1 year before Back to the Future. So,
Back to the Future, get their idea from.
Yeah, Cody was a trendsetter.
Fucker stole it from Andy Sidaris, huh? Could you imagine Back to the Future with Andy Sidaris? Like, I'm sure every woman's going to have, like, in the future, like, eight tits.
Oh, man. I got to fuck my mom. Wait. Fuck my mom. She's got huge cans.
Who was he married to? Who was the famous chick that he was married to?
Who?
Andy Sidaris. Wasn't he married to some model, you told me?
I don't think so.
I thought so. Maybe not. But the one thing I missed is I missed the fact that there was no bush panned down in this movie at all. I mean, you could have showed a little bush here.
No. Andy was against bush. You know what he did? I do remember from his first movie we did. Something about you guys said he did sports or something, or he was like a NFL.com or not NFL films or something. Help me out.
It was the Olympics. It was.
Oh, okay. See, I do remember that.
He like worked. Yeah, he did like all the Olympics in the '50s and sixties.
Yeah, because I remember the
ABC's Wide World
Hard
of Sports.
Hard to Get to Hawaii,
yeah.
Which he did, and we talked about this, and I was like, "What the hell are you talking about?"
He directed college football games on ABC too.
Right,
so
see,
like he got to start with ABC Sports.
That's why the action scenes are so great in this movie.
He pioneered the close-up shots of like beautiful women in the stands.
Shocking! That does not surprise me.
I think we might have said that in the Hard Ticket to Hawaii,
maybe,
but yeah, it's a good refresher. I just looked up, I can't find his wife. I'm sure he married a smoke show, but how he died is exactly how you think a guy...
He choked himself, what do you call it when you beat off, when you masturbate?
Is that what he did?
Not asphyxiation, though.
No?
Throat cancer, though. It's pretty close.
How's that close? He's sucking some guy off otherwise, but
he's giving too much cunnilingus.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I heard that. If you give too much, you get throat cancer.
That's what I tell my wife.
That's why you don't want to do it? No, pass tonight.
Any other final comments? Malibu Express.
No, it's a good one.
Good one. Recommend it. Watch.
It's a funny one to watch.
Obviously, you got to watch. It's anything that Andy S. does, you have to go watch.
All right, so for our next movie, again, we went back to our roots this time with the tits on Tubi. We're going back to, I guess, we haven't done this as much, but it's part of our roots on this podcast, and that is covering movies done by WWE wrestlers, and I'm not talking about the Marine 6 featuring The Miz. We are going to do the one with the real American. We're going back to doing Hulk Hogan. Suburban Commando, yeah. On YouTube. But when you type in Suburban Commando full movie on YouTube, the first one that comes up is like the actual movie that you can rent or buy on YouTube.
Don't do that one.
The next one, some gracious stuff of legends, some guy person uploaded the entire movie onto YouTube for free, so watch that second one.
Is that the only thing it's on is YouTube?
Yeah, otherwise you're gonna have to pay for it. So
Do not pay for it.
Suburban Commando, Hulk Hogan.
I'm excited. Haven't seen that one.
I seen it. I need tits.
You're a fiend, man.
You're gonna see some Hulk Hogan titties.
Alright, till then. I'm peace out.
I am shocked. I did not have to use the horny alarm for this podcast. round of applause for Joel and Barney.
I actually took the batteries out.